There's a lot of things that made God angry. You're lying to me. It is impossible to go through these things and not be angry. Anger can be a forbidden emotion. God was angry at how people abused each other. You have permission to be angry about it. I was there. It's not a question of whether or not the anger is there. Where did that anger get dissociated, and how long is it going to be until we find it?
You're listening to Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall.
All right, friends. So today on Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall, we're going to address a subject that is a bit touchy and sensitive. A lot of folks have had to learn to process the anger they carry in very unhealthy ways. And by unhealthy, what I mean is either by using it to hurt people or by suppressing it and dissociating it away inside of themselves to the effect of self-injury. And because anger isn't always rightly understood, even in Christianity, what I've found is over the many years that I've worked with people, we've had to visit anger as a subject and reconsider faulty assumptions so that people can heal, families can heal, and lives can be restored. I want to say this. At Bride Ministries, we serve, and this has been my mission since really about 2012, 2013, when I started working with survivors of satanic ritual abuse and government projects and every other kind of abuse background you can imagine. it's been my mission to help folks with these extreme trauma backgrounds walk into and enjoy all of the benefits of what Jesus has died to give us. And along the way, what I found is that there's nothing automatic about that process. You can't get someone saved in the perfect way, like just, you know, that perfect salvation moment at an altar where everything just, you know, wave the magic wand, all your problems go away. You know, there's no water baptism ceremony that cancels out a lifetime of trauma and its effects. No. We have to apply what Jesus has done for us intentionally and often over a lifetime through a process of sanctification that requires a specific administration of what Jesus has done to specific problems in layers as we take a healing and redemptive journey in Christ. So sonship isn't an event, it's a journey. So and with that, healing and deliverance. And on that subject, anger must be addressed, because when a person has been through extreme pain, traumatic childhoods, abuse scenarios, so on and so forth, it is impossible to go through these things and not be angry. But the interesting thing is I've actually met people that have the most extraordinarily unfair histories, pasts, experiences. And I talked to them. I said, doesn't that make you angry? And they say, I don't have any anger. And usually their eyes are like really wide when they say, I'm never angry. I forgave all of my abusers. You know, if they're really super Christians, I've forgiven everybody. But something is off. And when I say, oh, you have no anger, you're lying to me. I'm not lying, Dan Duvall. It's like, and this is the power of dissociation. And I always have to come back and remind folks, I say, it is impossible to have gone through the level of abuse, programming, trauma that you've survived and not have anger. It's not a question of whether or not the anger is there. The question is, where did that anger get dissociated and how long is it going to be until we find it? The interesting thing is that anger under certain scenarios can be a forbidden emotion. In other words, when people are being hurt in certain environments, anger only leads to more hurt and more pain. You know, when you have overtly dominating, controlling, hypersensitive personalities that are responsible for abuse, any kind of opposition is processed as a felt threat, and they will double down on their control process, whether that's physical abuse or psychological abuse, unfortunately, sometimes sexual abuse and other things. So what happens is a person internalizes the idea that if I get angry, I get more hurt. So part of the dissociation strategy is some part of the soul that is shattering through this pain has to get the job of holding the anger and keeping it away from the surface so that the abuse isn't as bad. This is so common. Now, this person may go a lifetime of being very, very disconnected from their anger, but the problem is anger rarely gets dissociated alone. And sometimes when a person dissociates their anger, they also dissociate their access to joy, their access to maybe excitement, their access to other positive emotions, actually, because it's buried under the anger. And to get to the rest of their emotions, they have to go through the actual acknowledgement of how angry they are about the pain they've survived. And it's safer just to let those emotions also stay buried. So what happens is when we learn to dissociate certain negative emotions, and today we're talking about anger, we are also likely dissociating positive emotions. And what that produces at the surface is an individual that lives life as an empty shell. They're just like 10% of who God designed them to be. And it's sad, but they're living in a perpetual state of survival. And the interesting thing is, when a person has a trauma background that has shattered their mind and shattered their soul, and they are living life as a shadow or a shell of themselves, it often behooves them to live life as more than that, because it's scary. It's scary to go there. And I've met a lot of people that, you know, it's like when I start to talk to them, I say, no, it's impossible. There's anger in there. And I say, yeah, is there anyone on the inside that's been carrying so-and-so's anger? If so, I invite you to, and then they're like, oh, wait, because they start to feel things stirring inside of them. They don't want to go there. It's like, this feels unsafe, you know, and maybe it is. And so the first thing that I want to dismiss with is the idea that you can go through a whole lot of unfair treatment and not be angry. You're angry. Number two, I want to disintermediate the lie that anger is a forbidden emotion. It may have been an emotion that produced greater pain in certain contexts, but it has to be acknowledged. Number three, some teachings suggest that if you get angry, you're not godly. Now, this is interesting because religious programming is used to ruin a lot of lives. And what religious programming does is it takes an idea that sounds like God and it uses it to put people in bondage. This is amazing. So religious programming puts people in bondage all over the world. You know, it's so fascinating to understand the way that religion works in the minds of societal architects, because evil people that are architecting society look at religion as a means by which they can control the masses. Jesus didn't come to set up a religion. Jesus actually set up a government. He called it the kingdom of God. That government has an administration, and that administration produces freedom. And what freedom really means is the absence of bondage. It's actually the antithesis of being in bondage to anything. That's what freedom is. So we don't have freedom to sin. That's actually completely contrary to what God does, because sin is bondage. So what God does is gives us freedom to liberate us from anything that would put us in bondage, including sin. That's freedom. So God comes to give us true freedom, but religion is used by societal architects to put people in bondage. And so you better believe that religious programming is a real thing. And I know programmers that have used religious programming. I mean, some of the people that I've worked with had programmers who were their pastors. It's really sad. other people that claim to be religious, but they're very involved in government mind control projects. They're actually cult members that happen to work in a building that has a sign in the front that says church, but it's a cult-run church. I mean, there's all kinds of things. Some of you listen to me, you're listening to me because you know all these things are true. Yeah. So what happens is you have religious indoctrination. You have people that take ideas that sound like godliness, use it to put people in bondage. Can I tell you what one of those are? That if you get angry, you're ungodly. You know, the Bible depicts a God who actually expresses a full range of emotions. And there are some apologists that spend their whole career trying to apologize to people for God being angry in the Old Testament. And they're like, well, you know, Jesus is really, you know, doing, you know, management on God's image. He's trying to help us understand that God wasn't really angry in the Old Testament. He was just, you know, misunderstood. And, you know, he's got all these like, no, he was angry. There was a lot of things that made God angry. And one of the things that makes God angry is sin. God, you know, God doesn't hate the sinner, but he definitely hates sin. And the reason why is because he knows how much it hurts people. And God was angry at how people abused each other. Because God is a compassionate guy. You know, compassion means to suffer with. So in God's creation, anything that is suffering, he feels. So does he get angry because he feels suffering and torture and pain? Yeah. Yeah. And if God can be angry about that, guess what? Anger is actually not an ungodly thing. That's religious programming. And so you have people who have all this anger and then they're controlled and manipulated with religious programming to be subdued into a controllable or manipulatable state by having a lot of their humanity dissociated for survival purposes. Yet, when we search out the word, find a God who has a full range of emotion, who has made us in his image and given us a full range of emotion. And the truth is, we can't go through pain and trauma and torture and so on and so forth without being angry. You know, this is where we have to get real with ourselves, because the Bible actually says, be angry and sin not. The Bible doesn't say you're not allowed to be angry. It says you are allowed to be angry. You are allowed to have righteous indignation. You are allowed to burn over the injustices that were perpetrated against you and others. And then once the emotion and the pain and the reality of what's going on the inside of us is understood, then it is our responsibility to deal with it properly with God. And the thing is, we can't heal from what we don't affirm and acknowledge. You know, and I think about this, right? You think about kids on the playground. You have Billy and you have, you know, Jake, and, you know, these two kids are on a playground. And, you know, so Jake has a toy and Billy comes and punches him in the chest, pow, and takes his toy. And then, and so Billy takes the toy and then Jake screams, oh, Billy, I'm so mad at you. And then the teacher comes in and says, hey, stop it, Jake, you're yelling and that's not nice and you're in trouble. Now, at that point, what Jake is going to do is he's going to feel the injustice of the situation, right? And then if the teacher says, now you apologize to Billy because you yelled at him. See, in order to feel good about apologizing, the first thing that Jake is going to need is to be affirmed, to be understood. If he's going to feel good about apologizing for yelling, at least acknowledge the fact that I was punched in the chest and my toy was stolen. You know, maybe we both need to apologize, but at least affirm that I'm not crazy for feeling this way. Right. But in real life abuse scenarios, a lot of times folks are not affirmed for feeling this way. They are punished for feeling some kind of way about their injustice and mistreatment. So they learn to shut down and forgiveness becomes skin deep. Once affirmation comes, it's actually way more realistic to not only at the surface begin to forgive people and let things go or turn things over to Jesus, but in the deeper parts of our subconscious where our minds were shattered over injustice, to forgive and let it go at those levels. and truly heal throughout our whole being. Friends, I have a lot to say about anger. Anger has been used or pitched and twisted as something that people are absolutely not allowed to go near. It's just not true. We need to have our feelings, even the negative ones, affirmed. And you know, this is your permission slip. Like, if you've gone your whole life dissociating anger, what I'm telling you is you probably haven't healed from all the things that have caused you to be angry. And I want to tell you today, Jesus is actually not uncomfortable with your anger. He's not. I have sat down in thousands and thousands of hours of session work with people, working with Jesus right alongside of him, and seeing how he deals with people, how he deals with the shattered pieces of their soul on the inside of their subconscious or their minds, how he works with their little ones on the inside of their minds, their inner children, for, you know, some of you that would use that terminology. And it's always an affirmation of, no, you're not crazy. This did happen to you. You have permission to be angry about it. I was there. It made me angry too. That's why the Bible says I have anger, and I'm also a God of vengeance, even wrath. God releases his wrath on the ungodly in the Bible. Like, there is a wrath of God, and it's not ungodly for God to have wrath on his enemies. It's amazing how religious programming just takes the most simplistic and straightforward things and twists them in order to subdue people in their brokenness. But not today, Satan. You've been listening to Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall. Next time.